where you can.
Here's what I'd like to do. There's lots that I like about this project. It reduces the traffic. That's a fact. The EIR, as I stated earlier, has been well vetted. I have a lot of confidence in that. They've been working on it since 2019. I'd like to make a motion to approve as recommended by staff and at least get a second, and then we can just, I know there are some concerns, but then we can discuss from there. And we do have a full agenda today, so I'm trying to move things along here.
I'll second.
Yes.
Okay, we have a motion. Mm-hmm. Motion by Commissioner Arabian, a second by Commissioner Zante. Now we have time for discussion.
Can you change your motion to about like
about what?
Changing the entrance or something?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe staff, could we get like what's the guidance on language that?
Let's ask first the maker of the motion. Are you willing to entertain that at this time?
I'll listen to discussion. I am okay with it the way it is. However, I'm open to what staff may have to offer. So. Oh, and I would like it to be in a fashion, if it's going to change the where we get approval, maybe based on something, but not a delay or.
Are you able to answer that this time, staff, or do you need more input?
I'm going to try to tread lightly here. Any change has always complications involved in it. And in an EIR, when we make a change, there's two methods you do it. One is you go back and change the document, recirculate it, reconsider it. That's obviously what the applicant would like to avoid, because that's quite lengthy. And the time is their enemy there. However, there is a secondary process where when you can make small changes where there is not a significant change and the alternatives are equal or better, and you can add evidence into the environmental record referred to as an addendum to the EIR. Typically, that, though, has to be approved by the body making that decision. If you're the body making that decision and you're giving us authority to consider an alternative site, as long as we're not creating any new impacts, that may work. You may find people that would argue that it really should be brought back. So it's a bit dicey, but it is a second way that you can sort of try to approach it. But it is very much dependent upon the specifics of what we find when we look at the specific proposal. It's sort of hard sitting here today to tell you that I know every impact. And guess what? I'm not a traffic engineer, so I couldn't tell you. But let's say that there is a equal or better solution that doesn't require additional studies or require the public to have another opportunity to have another hearing. We would be glad to try to facilitate that. And so with a very cautionary tale, I said you could direct us to investigate it and do an addendum if the proposed relocation doesn't provide any increased impacts or require any additional studies. If those things occur, then we have to come back and do a more formal process. But if we're just moving something 5 feet and there's no harm, no foul, we can sort of handle that. But if it's moving to some place where site distances don't work or some other issue, or maybe there's there's something physically on the ground, maybe there's a sensitive plant there or something, I wouldn't know until we do that analysis.
Okay, well, maybe to move it along, I want to hear if other commissioners have a comment. I personally would like to see some type of language which would allow the staff to come back and look at that alternate location. I don't believe there'd be any substantive changes to the EIR. It shouldn't change the health aspect. It shouldn't change, if anything, it could improve it, but I don't even know if you need to go there. It shouldn't change a lot of the issues other than the truck traffic at the entrance. And I think there is a concern about traffic on a busy road that could be during harvest time. You have traffic coming from, you know, cars coming from I-5, and I would like to think that would only improve the situation, but it has to be designed properly. And I have no idea on that part, but that's the direction I would like to go. That staff is allowed to consider an alternative with the applicant and the Pilobos family's input, and if they can do it, then I would consider that a done deal.
So how would you word that? Or
you?
I just for clarity, so you're aware, the EIR does specifically address the address issue. If you look at the document 4.13-11, like you're going to see that like that, there is a section that talks about the geometry design and that access point. So it has been studied. So I don't want you to think that this issue, as there wasn't testimony alluding to that fact, but it is actually in your document that this point has been designed. And so by doing what we're doing, we are looking at something we already studied, and we're just making an adjustment to it. But I just want to clarify that it was specifically addressed in the EIR.
Would it be less of an adjustment if you said you want an additional entrance and it was designed for truck traffic and you kept the other?
No, because you've introduced a new element. Yeah, actually, it probably would be worse if you add one.
I have a comment.
Commissioner Wolf.
So I think what's important for the stimulus group to consider is if there's a motion that is proposed to have us go forward and vote as it's presented, and it's denied, they're done. They're not moving forward at all. And so the option of moving forward with a continuance where there's a new entrance designed in is to their benefit, really. So, you know, I'm looking at it like if very black and white, where we can just slam this thing down right now completely. And so I do think it's a little bit of an option for them to consider if they're willing to have a continuance where, you know, we set a date, we have a new study done on a different entrance, back to the drawing board a little bit, and working with the neighbors to come up with an agreeable entrance. Anyway, that's what I'm wondering. Is that true? If we deny the motion, are they shut down?
To the Board of Supervisors. It delays it.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Any other comments or any comments from anybody else?
We could try my motion, and if it doesn't, then someone else can make another motion, right?
No. Yeah, that has to be shut down then.
Well, we have a motion on the floor. And if we're ready to vote on that, we can vote on it. If it fails, we can have an additional motion.
Yes.
If it passes, then it passes as the maker of the motion stated, which is to approve as per staff's recommendation with no changes. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, or can we amend that motion?
Should, yeah. And
well,
I'm okay
that's
with
up
that
to
too.
The maker of the motion if he
whatever
wants to amend it. At this time, do you wish to amend it, or do you want to go forward?
I don't mind amending it, but I'm very confused on exactly how we're going to do that. I would rather, maybe we should just put it out to vote, and that because it's awkward language.
You need to go get the vote first.
Okay. We will have called the question for a roll call vote, and this is to approve as per staff's recommendation with no changes. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, that's the motion.
Commissioner Arabian?
Yes.
Commissioner Zante?
Yes.
Commissioner Carver?
Yes.
Commissioner Chatha?
Yes.
Commissioner Quist?
Yes.
Commissioner Wolf? Vice Chair Hill?
Yes.
And Chairman Abrahamian?
No. So this motion passes. 6-2. It's final unless appealed to the Board of Supervisors. Is that correct?
Correct.
You can check with staff as far as the timeline for filing an appeal. Thank you very much. Okay, next item on the agenda.
Regular agenda item number 3, variance number 4160, and environmental review number 8524, filed by Stephen Sikosti, proposing to waive the building height requirements to permit an 89-foot-tall tomato evaporator, 35 feet maximum height, from an existing 56.26-acre tomato processing facility in the AE20 zone district. The subject parcel is located on the northeast corner of South Butte Avenue and West Gale Avenue, approximately 2.15 miles southwest from the unincorporated community of Huron.
Before we start, Commissioner Wolf has a comment.
I have a conflict with this one, and I do need to recuse myself from this.
So Commissioner Wolf will step out for item number 3. Commissioner Chata will be returning. He's here right now. So we can proceed with item number 3. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. The project in question is an existing tomato processing facility. The applicant wishes to construct an 89-foot-high evaporator. In order to make these findings, you need to make 4 findings that are available. The situation is exceptional in that the design of the evaporator necessitates height greater than the height limit imposed on the agricultural land. That's 4 findings 1 and 2. It's a substantial property right, as the applicant has a right to maintain the operation efficiency of the existing facility. Are there any detrimental issues? We find, and as the applicant states, and we concur, that the existing use will not have any detrimental impact towards and the surrounding property owners. And finding 4, the proposed development is consistent with the general plan. There are no general plan policies specific to the height. However, the general plan does encourage existing value-added agriculture-related activities, of which this will be. There were 2 letters of support, no letters of objection, and staff recommends you make the findings as recommended by staff. If you have any further questions, I'm here to answer them.
Thank you. Any questions of staff? Okay. Thank you very much. The applicant, come forward. Say your name and address for the record, if you would.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I am Stephen Seesock. I reside in Clovis, 2674 Prescott Avenue. I am the Vice President at Los Gatos Tomato Prox, which is in Huron. So like discussed, we do have the proposal for the evaporator on our facility. We've been working extensively with California League of Food Processors and the CEC, California Energy Commission, to put forward food improvement projects that have an impact, a beneficial impact on the environment. This one specifically reduces our natural gas, which in turn reduces greenhouse gases and reduces our carbon footprint. In the facility, we do produce tomato paste, so no changes. We currently have 6 evaporators, so the height is 70 feet on those. So this one is just 18 feet taller. But we do want to, as a company, we do want to stay viable. We do have to meet strict energy initiatives. So this one, going forward, will meet that threshold for us to keep us a viable company going forward and processing in Fresno County. Is there
any questions
specific
of the speaker
on the design?
Say you agree with all the conditions and notes that staff presented?
What's that?
Do you agree with the conditions and conditions of approval and notes from staff?
From
everything
staff,
in
yes.
the staff report?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Anyone else to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Okay, I'll bring it back to the commission. Close the public portion of the hearing. Motions are on page 7.
I'll make a motion.
Commissioner Chata.
Just. Does it move?
And it's a motion as approved by or as recommended
motion.
By
staff. Move as the staff recommendation.
Just move as per staff's recommendation. So we had a motion by Commissioner Chata, and who jumped in on the second? Commissioner Arabian. Okay, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That carries 7-0 with Commissioner Wolf recused.
Let me bring Ms. Wolf.
Okay. All right, we go to item number 4.
Regular agenda item number 4, variance application number 4149, director review and approval number 4734, and environmental review number 8364, filed by John Jensen, proposing to a variance to waive front road requirements, 165-foot minimum, and lot depth ratio requirements necessary to allow a property lot line adjustment, reducing APN 335-09093 by 1.82 acres from 17.08 acres to 15.26 acres and enlarging APN 335-09014 by 1.82 acres from 0.29 acres to 0.11 acres and consider a director's review and approval to allow an existing 1,248 square feet second residence and an existing 1,412 square feet primary residence on APN 335-09014 within the AE20 zone district. The subject parcels are located on the west side of Maple Avenue, approximately 680 feet north of Sumner Avenue, and 2.8 miles south from the city of Fresno.
Good morning. As you can see in this photo, this property has an existing home site parcel. What the applicant intends to do is simply increase the lot size to incorporate both homes. He had to increase it to the size as stated in the staff report because there's a nitrogen-only analysis that must be done, and in order to meet that, it would have to be expanded to that size. The agricultural field will remain the same for agricultural production. This is an extraordinary circumstance as it has two existing uses, two existing homes, and it simply expands the allowance for these homes to be put onto the same property. That's why we go through the DRA process. There aren't any existing, and there were no letters of support or in opposition to the project. And staff recommends that this project is extraordinary and is not opposed to the general plan and is not detrimental to any property owners and the surrounding property owners property. Therefore, staff recommends that you make findings, all DRA findings and all variance findings, and recommend you approve as per our recommendations. So if you have further questions, I'm here to answer them.
Thank you. Any questions of staff?
I had a question.
Yes.
On this particular agenda item, there are this very small parcel that was created at one point. When was that created?
So that was created in 1956 as a home site parcel.
The tiny, tiny
correct.
One.
0.26 acres, correct. Home site parcels can be up to 2.5 acres, but for this instance, it originally covered one home. So it's
there's two homes on it.
There's one home on it and one home on the agricultural land.
Wait, what? It looks like there's two. It's described as having two already.
The owner could further clarify with that. But it's my understanding that this project in question will incorporate two homes on the property for this under the DRA.
I'm sorry, I couldn't follow that.
The property owner could answer you this question.
So they're doing away with the lot line on the very small parcel and just moving.
Correct. Yes, the okay. property in question is going to.
That's what I thought, but it wasn't clear. Okay.
Correct.
Any other questions of staff? Thank you.
Thank you.
Would the applicant come forward? state your name and address for the record, if you would.
Morning, everyone. I'm John Jensen, and I live at 7265 South Maple. The lot that you're considering.
Mr. Jensen, can you just clarify? Right now, you have a small lot, and sure. The other house is on the larger parcel?
Correct.
And you're wanting to do the lot line adjustment to have both houses on a larger small parcel?
Incorporate them onto one lot. That's correct.
Okay, and the balance of the property is still being farmed. And you agree with the staff's report and their recommendation and conditions?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any questions, Mr. Jensen?
Oh, go ahead.
So I'm confused. So we're making it now a 2-acre parcel, and it's going to be allowed to have two houses on it. That's the part that I'm confused about, because that shouldn't be allowable.
So it is allowable under a director's review and approval. And so there are two. You can have an additional home, up to two homes, on a single parcel through a director's review and approval. Typically, through a DRA, director's review and approval. Typically, this DRAs don't come up to the planning commission. It's at the director's level. But since this is combined variance. With a variance, we look at these together.
And is our decision final?
It is final unless appealed to the board.
Okay. Any other questions of the applicant? Commissioner Quist, you had a question or no?
Well, so this to the applicant or to staff, the APN that ends with 5-2, that's not a part. You don't own that, Mr. Jensen?
You're talking about the parcel to the northeast? He owns that as well. That was a different type of parcel, and it was given a certificate of compliance in the 90s to legalize that parcel. That parcel's not in question during this time.
So it's a separate legal parcel?
It's a separate legal parcel, that's correct.
Okay. Any other questions?
Small one on the corner on the opposite side of the larger parcel. Who owns that, and how long ago was that separated?
You're referring to the one in the southeast corner.
I think we're looking at the one on the southeast corner.
Okay.
I'm talking about, I believe it's the northeast corner of the large
the
parcel
not,
A.
The one that's not part of
the
this.
The northeast corner is owned separately from us.
Yeah.
For how long?
1990, approximately.
1990, so that was separated off.
Correct.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Jensen.
Thank you.
Anyone else to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission. I'll close the hearing, and motions are on page 12. Commissioner Zante.
If there's no discussion, I'll make a motion to approve the recommended motion by staff.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Zante, second by Commissioner Arabian. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That carries 8-0. It's final unless appealed. Okay, next item, we're going to take about a 5-minute break, and we'll come back. I'm not sure if Commissioner Chata may have to leave, so we'll leave it up to him as far as when he leaves.
Either I leave now or I leave in the middle of it, whatever you choose.
He probably won't be here to vote. So
I won't be here to vote.
If everybody else will be here, we'll still have 7.
They're fine.
We'll have a quorum and an odd number. So, okay, we'll break for a few minutes. Thank you. Thank you. We're back in session. We'll start with item number 5.
Regular agenda item number 5, Fresno County General Plan Review, General Plan Amendment number 529, and Amendment Application number 3862, with Comprehensive Zoning Ordinance Update, Amendment to Text number 385, including Final Program Environmental Impact Report and related documents. The General Plan Review and Zoning Ordinance Update is a countywide matter.
Bernard Jimenez, Department of Public Works and Planning. Today, staff is pleased to present the county's general plan review, zoning ordinance update, and the associated environmental impact report. This effort represents the culmination of years of work and countless hours of community engagement by department staff. The revised general plan and zoning ordinance reflects the input of numerous state and local agencies, community-based organizations, community stakeholders, business owners, and individual county residents. Staff has a formal presentation, but before we begin that, I just want to point out that this revised general plan builds upon and refines the goals and policies of the 2000 general plan and retains the county's focus on protection of farmland and its natural resources and the direction of new population and urban growth to the 15 cities and the county's unincorporated communities. The revised general plan places renewed focus on the county's unincorporated communities and areas impacted by environmental hazards in the form of new environmental justice policies and programs, as well as new industrial development standards intended to protect communities and create opportunities for every resident in Fresno County to live in healthy and safe communities, regardless of their race, color, national origin, or income. To this end, the revised general plan also reflects the collaborative engagement and coordinated efforts between county staff and the Department of Justice Attorney General's Office. I would like to personally thank Deputy Attorney Robert Swanson for making available the state's resources and assistance in helping the department develop its new industrial and environmental justice policies and programs and industrial development standards. So here today to present the general plan and zoning ordinance project is Chris Mata, who's our project manager, and also the Development Services and Capital Project Division Manager, and Will Kettler, Deputy Director of Planning, and the county's consultant team, Brincon Consultants. So with that, I'd like to ask Chris to go ahead and take over this portion of the presentation. Thank you.
Good morning. The General Plan Zoning Ordinance Update General Plan Review Zoning Ordinance Update Project is comprised of a number of documents. In April 2023, the public review drafts were released consisting of the draft program EIR, the draft general plan policy document, a revised background report, and updated zoning ordinance. Earlier this month, the final program EIR was released, which consists of a response to comments to the draft program EIR. As part of the final program EIR, the mitigation monitoring reporting program and CEQA findings, statement of overriding considerations have been included as exhibits to your staff report. In completing this list on the screen are the general plan response to comments from April to June of 2023, and comments received between 2018 and 2021, and staff's proposed changes to the general plan policy document, background report, and zoning ordinance, shown in red line. A number of public workshops have been held since the EIR process started in earnest in 2018. There were 30 meetings or workshops held throughout the county since that time. With the April 28th release of the project document, staff held 7 community workshops last year at various locations, including 2 environmental justice workshops, 1 in the community of Cantua Creek and 1 in the community of Malaga. Last year on September 14th, staff held a workshop with your commission regarding the released documents. The project extends the general plan planning period from 2000 to 2042. While retaining the major themes of the current 2000 general plan, such as directing urban growth to existing cities and unincorporated communities, limiting intrusion of development and incompatible land uses onto productive agricultural land, limiting rural residential development as some examples. It also addresses several legislative bills through policy or zoning ordinance modifications, several of which have been shown on the slide. The project includes a new environmental justice element addressing state requirements for disadvantaged and environmental justice unincorporated communities with new policies and implementation programs, some modifications to the zoning ordinance as well. and is an updated general, includes an updated general plan safety element, which was submitted to and approved by the State Board of Forestry, that addresses climate hazards, including wildfires, fire vulnerability, and emergency evacuation. It also includes board-directed redesignation and rezoning of lands along the area near Reno and Aubrey Roads to reflect existing parcelization and land uses in the area. The general plan zoning ordinance update includes industrial development standards in the zoning ordinance intended to minimize potential impacts to sensitive receptors and land uses, including those in proximity to disadvantaged communities. Additional zoning ordinance flexibility for the director for determinations in the establishment of temporary use permits for certain uses, identifies two new special study areas relating to the county's business and industrial campus and a proposed educational-based master plan community north of State Route 180 along the Kings River. It also incorporates state-mandated requirements and updated zoning practices for accessory dwelling units, objective design standards for multifamily development, and the expansion of potential locations for emergency shelters while addressing prior zoning ordinance ambiguities and expanding on potential locations for emergency shelters. Finally, the zoning ordinance reformats. The zoning ordinance is being reformatted by incorporating the use of user-friendly tables, diagrams, and graphics. For the county's vision statement, general plan vision statement, the county sees its primary role as a protector of prime agricultural lands and open space, recreational opportunities, and environmental quality, and also the coordinator of countywide efforts to promote economic development. The general plan sets out a vision reflected in the goals, policies, and programs and diagrams for the Fresno County through the planning horizon of 2042 and beyond. This plan carries forward major policies that have been in place since the mid-1970s, but expands and strengthens those to meet the challenges of the 21st century. The general plan review carries forward the same 12 themes identified in the 2000 general plan, with the addition of the environmental justice theme. Some of those themes include economic development, you can also see agricultural land protection, health and safety protection, and health and well-being, among the other themes shown on the slide. This diagram or table here shows the required elements of a general plan at the top, which is required by the state of California. And then how the county incorporates those elements into the various elements of its general plan here. You can see that we have some optional elements such as economic development and public facilities and services. We also note that the housing element is on a separate track for adoption being currently processed by the county. Regarding environmental justice through policies and programs, the following topics were addressed in that element. Land use and environment, promoting physical activity and facility access, also access to healthy food and health and healthy foods, safe and sanitary homes, and community participation. The safety element was revised following the July 2021 redrafted general plan policy document, which had been released at that time for public review, and based on recommendations from the county's consultant, also through the data collected through the climate vulnerability assessment, and in consultation with CAL FIRE, the document was revised. Pursuant to state law, on May 9, 2023, the county staff, the consultant, and CAL FIRE presented the revised safety element to the California Board of Forestry, which was accepted without request for additional changes. Now, I would like to turn the presentation over to Mr. Bill Kettler.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. On this slide before you is the one area that's being redesignated in the general plan and rezoned from AE 20 to AL 20. This is an area bordered by Reno, Garone, Willow Bluff, and Fryant. And this is a sector that has had numerous issues related to variances. The board directed in November of 2017 that staff look at options for this area and to address the ongoing subdivisions that were occurring and the issues related to water. So this is an area that's somewhat water constrained. What's going to occur is, by rezoning to AL 20, and designating it to rural residential, individuals would then come in and have the opportunity to deal with site-specific rezoning, and thus site-specific CEQA would be occurring at that time. So this is one sector that's being included in this project. The rest of it's programmatic level, and this is a programmatic level general plan designation with a programmatic level rezone. The next slide depicts an example. It's actually a sheet from the document itself that shows the reformatted pages of the general plan policy document. And you'll see in the right-hand margin various instructional items for readers to understand why things are reformatted, what those items pertain to. And the next slide is for those that are implementation programs. The slide following is just an example of a red line markup sheet. This document is online, the public review draft from April of 23 and revised in January of 24. And this shows some of the work done. As Mr. Jimenez and Mr. Mata had indicated, really the general plan review is somewhat of a cleanup and then also bring to current to legislation required by the state of California. So let's talk a little bit about the zoning ordinance update. So the zoning ordinance has been reformatted pretty much completely. It has a number of tables to deal not only with permitted land uses, but improvement and development standards. What it allows is the tables have anywhere from 2 to up to 6 or more zone districts that allow for easy comparison for individuals to take a look at those tables. And they're quite quick reference. The development standards for each district are generally combined in Article 2 with Article 7 dealing with definitions. And so the county current ordinance has definitions up front, they're in the rear, and they're greatly expanded. And we have special standards in place at Article 4. Some of the key additions mentioned is the multifamily development. So the objective design standards allow for minimum development standards if adhered to ensure a streamlined approach and by right implementation of multifamily, which is a big push for the state of California. Commercial industrial warehousing, Mr. Mata mentioned, and Mr. Jimenez as well, there are specific standards in the ordinance that address things like buffering, landscaping, orientation, parking and loading docks. That's to deal with sensitive receptors and the like. Temporary uses is something new to the zoning ordinance. Those are director level approval. They deal with small events that are not permanent. So rather than dealing with land use permits that are run in perpetuity to land, an individual could come in and apply for something that's a small scale operation. So somewhat streamlines those approach. That can apply to anything like farmers markets, bazaar fairs, those kind of a thing. Director's determinations is an authority section that's been added. And while the director has current authority in the ordinance to do current ordinance right now, this also adds, brings those over and adds certain powers related to various land uses if they're consistent with the district, if they're not specifically listed. And then accessory dwelling units, which are mandated by the state of California as well. And very briefly, Article 1, purpose and applicability, that's basically an introductory chapter to the zoning ordinance. Allowable land uses and specific standards, that's your basic zoning ordinance standards that deal with the districts, and it covers what land uses are allowed and the standards that are applicable to that district. Article 4 is a little more detailed. This is an operationally based standards. This is equivalent to what we have now in our ordinance as Section 855. So you have your standard ordinance districts, and then you have your special standards for uses, and that'll be in this chapter, Article 3. And some of these are required, for example, density bonus requirements and incentives is actually Government Code 65915 from the state of California. So as with the general plan policy document, the zoning ordinance is also being brought up to deal with legislation that is mandated to the local jurisdictions. Property development standards and alternate uses we have as well, and parking and loading standards, and some of these also reflect the items we're going to talk about in Article 4, which is specific standards for industrial warehouse. Those also relate to other articles, so it'll have cross-reference information in the document. The other is objective design standards for multifamily are also included in Article 4, as I mentioned earlier. And again, all the way to streamline approvals as really encouraged and mandated and stated in one shape, way, shape, or form. Article 5 is the description of land use permitting and how to conduct land use permitting. And that, so that's currently in the ordinance that was brought forward and modernized a bit. And then our ordinance administration is simply issues related to enforcement, how the county administers the ordinance and how individuals of the public can read that and understand as well how we do things. And then our definition, as mentioned, are located in the back. So with regard to the environmental impact report, it's a program, EIR, and that was circulated for 60 days, which exceeds the minimum required 45-day that the state has. It was circulated for comment for between April 28th of 2023 and June 27th. The final EIR was posted to the clearinghouse, state clearinghouse, on January 5th, and then was sent out to interested parties on the 12th of January of this year. So in processing EIRs, government code, CEQA guideline, pardon me, 15121, talks about the fact that, and your commission, I'm sure, knows this as you've dealt with projects, that CEQA is really intended to inform decision makers and the public to identify potential significant impacts and ways to minimize those with through either alternatives or through mitigation. And so that's what this project has adhered to, that standard, of course, as preparing a programmatic EIR. The program EIR did identify some less than significant impacts. Those were up on the screen: aesthetics, energy, hazards, hazardous materials, hydrology, land use and planning, noise, population, housing, public services, and biological resources through mitigation. So that's on the MMRP for the project, which is included in the information distributed. However, the program EIR also identified significant and unavoidable impacts. And those are related to ag, air quality, cultural, geology, soils, greenhouse emissions, transportation, tribal and cultural resources, utilities, and water and wildfire. One thing that the EIR does, the program EIR does, is through some of its policies, it incorporates mitigation. And so the policies noted do include mitigation related to the topics noted, anywhere from farmland to transportation for VMT. So those are incorporated in the, not only the policy, we also have the MMRP that includes those as well, mitigation monitoring and reporting plan, pardon me. And with regard to program EIRs, you know, decision-making bodies have an opportunity and obligation to consider all issues related to CEQA and the environmental document prior to approving any project, in which case those significant impacts need to be addressed. We have findings documents that would be attached to your commission in your packet related to overrides and et cetera. And those are Exhibit 2 and 3, where we have the findings document as well as the mitigation monitoring and reporting plan. And that concludes the formal part of the presentation. We have, you want to do the errata? Okay. Mr. Mott is going to jump in with some errata documents.
So there's two modifications to documents I want to draw the Planning Commission's attention to. One is related to Exhibit 6. There was an error that was on the exhibit that is not actually, it's correct in the release documents. The other is a graphic that we want to replace regarding one of the transportation documents. So I'm going to bring the first one up on the screen. So the only error on this document was in the table. You'll see some, and I have a hard copy I'll distribute at the end of my short presentation here. There were a couple of red lines that unfortunately were incorrect. This is the correct version. This is correct in the documents that were released to the public. So the only issue was that we had a couple of areas that were redlined out and a couple that had excessive redlining that was simply a formatting error. The other is that this figure TR2, we would like to use this figure to replace the one in the documents. There were some issues with not fully having State Route 168 shown on that particular graphic, and some other roadways that were somehow unfortunately missed.